Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Are you ready? Are you ready to reclaim the Republic? I am. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. So if you go there and Mobius Strip Press, again, that's reclaimingtherepublic.org, just as you spell it. And that's where you can find all sorts of content. I believe I have wrapped up on the bullets and they will be posted on reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will be setting up a new page this weekend so you can actually go and look at those images, and you will be able to, be able to visualize both the flow of Republic Review as well as, you know, the steps and the processes and so forth. Obviously, that doesn't get into all the little nuances such as the personalities and those types of conflicts that you'll have. But nevertheless, if you want to call in and discuss what we've already talked about in the previous shows this week, where I've gone through the academic bullets for Reclaiming the Republic with Republic Review, as well as the I started in those bullets with going through the steps of the model or the flow chart of Republic Review, or actually, yeah, the actual steps of Republic Review. And so with that, we're going to go into those as well later on today. I know where we left off. We just got into those bullets yesterday. I think we got in through step two. And so we have a few more steps to go through. But that being said, I want to make sure that you know that if you do call in and you happen to know me, I have my three C's, be confidential. I go by GR on the show and in public, and be civil. That's all I ask. I'll be civil with you. You be civil with me, and be concise. I've been told that I might intimidate people, and that has never been my intent. I always try to understand, you know, everybody's paradigm and perspective, but sometimes, and on the show, I may not have time for that. So that's why being concise, that final C, is kind of important. So let me point out the importance of getting this information, just like the importance of that Reclaiming the Republic video that I did, the presentation, that link is on my Take Action page. If you go to my Take Action page and watch that video, just the first 30 minutes, and you will be able to understand, you know, just how far away we have gone from the course that the framers have put us on and how simple it is to get us back onto that course. And so I just ask you to go take care of watching that. You pull in these images and this information that I'm going to be posting, and you too will be able to become a constitutional warrior, and you can start spreading this word. I need, let me see, about 100 GRs in every state to really make politicians, especially in the blue states, very miserable because they get tired of hearing the fact that they're violating the Constitution. So anyway, if you have a mailing list or a group of patriots, make sure you get them involved in watching that video so that everybody can kind of watch it all at once. Have a popcorn or a if you need to put a quilt together, just have a quilting party and watch the video, okay? So I have a bad sense of humor, so forgive me. I won't say anything about the crowdfunding. I already told you yesterday that I will, I'm dedicated to getting that done by the 21st. So religious freedom, I still have that standing question. If anybody wants to talk and have a good, open, honest dialogue on what does the Constitution really protect? Does it really protect religious freedom in the context that everybody happens to say it does? And so anyway, Last time I checked before we went on air, as I kind of went through the news and everything else, it seems to me that there's still no sign of the federal government disbanding a single unconstitutional role, responsibility, or power. So what does that mean, folks? They're not going to do it. They just won't do it. I mean, even if they do happen to shut down the Department of Education, or they shut down the EPA, or they shut down something else that is unconstitutional, if these progressives want an EPA, then by all means have Congress, or have them recommend an amendment for Congress, get Congress to sign off on it with 2/3, and then get 3/4 of the state to create an EPA. Then you can have your constitutional EPA. If not, it's federal tyranny, and it's just the same as us coming along and saying, nah, you can't be a Democrat anymore. We're going to throw you in jail. It's illegal to be a Democrat. And so, well, okay, that's kind of harsh, but that's exactly what the EPA is. It's kind of harsh. And it goes in line with a lot of these other things. You have to abide by the Constitution, and you just can't create arbitrary laws, because that is, by definition, tyranny. So again, I've also mentioned this before, this state, or this show, is a state show. I am not concerned one bit really about the federal government, other than getting them back into the framework of the Constitution. That is why this show is the only show with a constitutional solution that you can sink your teeth into and get a good night's sleep when we finally save our Constitution. Moving on. I know that there's lots of people that like talking about single issues, and, you know, that's okay. You know, it's all right to be aware of what's going on and having that conversation. But I just want you to understand that the more you get engrossed into a single issue, the more you have been owned by the distraction. The distraction is not focusing on all of the unconstitutional powers at play here. So if you're concerned about Mueller, if you're concerned about immigration, if you're concerned about abortion, the Second Amendment rights, Islam, refugees, the deep state, Common Core, Obamacare, the IRS, welfare, voter fraud, on and on and on and on. Those are all the problems, and they will entangle you in trying to fight them. And the problem isn't those. The problem is the fact that the government is violating the Constitution in all these ways. Therefore, the focus needs to be on getting the Leviathan dismantled and put the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution, so they can do great things again and make America great, as I say, once and for all. And so, let me also point out that I've had a lot of contacts. I'm working with different folks in different organizations. I'm making people have hard times sleeping tonight, because I spoke to a gentleman last night, and I hope to have him on the show as he's digested Republic Review, and, you know, can come on and, you know, talk about it, as well as his organizations that he's working with. He's in California trying to set up the first 51st state, where Washington and others, and as I've told you, we need every blue state to start setting up plans in creating and branching away from the population center, so that you can have your own state, and that you can live under republicanism instead of being ruled by mob rule and democracy. That is not what we were intended to have to live through. The Constitution guarantees that we would have a Republican form of government, because Congress isn't doing anything about it. I think Congress needs to have a landslide of petitions in splitting up states, and a wake-up call to say, you know what, that Senate with only 100 seats, that's not big enough. You're going to have to double that. And it actually may bring in the argument, as far as I'm concerned, in doing some of the things I talk about in my book, such as getting D.C. dismantled altogether. Why aren't we living with our representatives? Why aren't they telecommuting like most other businesses are starting to use that technology? They can do secure comms. They can work out of their local help me out here, capital or a local county commissioner's office or headquarters or what have you. So there's ways of getting these guys out into your hands on a permanent basis, instead of hiding in the swamp And so if you keep, stay tuned, we've got all the answers here, and I will be right back after this hard break. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so I was trying to get into a little bit of status as to where I'm at. It looks like this, the news and the information regarding Republic Review is getting into a lot of other conservative leaders' hands. And I think they're starting to garner
the worthiness, or I should say, the merit in considering an alternate route and an alternate path instead of the Article 5 process, as well as the status quo process, and that we should be able to actually pull the contract back. And I think people are starting to actually, you know, take time, listen, and put some brain matter to, you know, these concepts. So as I move forward, I will try to divulge more, but I just don't like to be the chatty Cathy that is talking about all the little things that could be. I really want things to start panning out to where I, you know, you're getting the news because it's actually happening and not necessarily me just talking. So let me move into these bullets. And so the last bullet I covered was the second bullet, that how Mobius Strip Press is basically, and other affiliated organizations that I'm starting to work with, and you're going to learn about them, is actually going to be educating legislators and grassroots leaders and those types of things to those types of organizations within counties and states, in getting them engaged into educating their state legislators so that they would know what they need to do and start functioning as the leaders that they need to be and fulfilling their oath of office. So moving on, the third bullet is, if necessary, these legislators need to work with county parties, and I think I may have covered this last, but I'm going to go over it again. These legislators need to work with county parties, in other words, the Constitution, GOP, and Libertarian parties, and grassroots organizations, and set up constitutional committees of correspondence and a focus pack. I've talked about focus on this show. And so if you look at focus.us, they may still be under construction, but when they come back up, they will have the basic architecture necessary to start putting together which state legislatures in for Idaho first, which ones are supporting the Constitution, Republic Review, and which ones aren't, so that we can start using the PAC to start funneling money towards those candidates that would be in support of that and making sure that they get seated, because eventually, and we're kind of late at this, I just literally came across Focus, I think in February, and by March timeframe, they were kind of, they're committed and coming on to Republic Review. Got a few hurdles to come over, so they're a little bit late to the dance, but that doesn't matter. The song is still playing, and we have time at least to get this thing going, and we will be committed in moving this forward. Anyway, so they're going to be working with Focus in each state to apply pressures on legislative districts to get their fellow legislators. So here's a legislator that's in office, and he's working with somebody that claims to be a rhino, or he's just a rhino. He claims to be a Republican, but he does not support the Constitution, and he's following the advice of the Agenda 21 planners and so forth. Then these state legislators who are constitutional will start contacting these districts and going, you got to replace these guys. And, you know, working with grassroots and everybody else, because maybe the GOP won't play. And if the GOP has to become irrelevant, then the GOP becomes irrelevant. The point is that we all need to start working together to get to this end. And so as we get these legislatures, and this probably won't be happening in Wyoming. This probably won't be happening in Idaho. But it would be happening maybe in Washington. It would be happening in some of these more purple states or blue states and so forth. So once we get these legislators to start fulfilling their oath and doing their job and protecting their citizens from federal tyranny, then these organizations will, you know, start working with other organizations. And, you know, after a while, once you've got most of your legislators there, it's just focusing on a couple. And, you know, you can get, you know, with the team effort, you can get all that you need over that finish line in getting those other couple legislative districts covered with a good legislator that is going to support the Constitution. So bullet four, once a single state obtains a majority of support within the two legislative bodies, they must, one, finalize the draft resolutions and vote on a single, concise, and succinct final resolution calling for republic review in fighting federal tyranny, pass legislation to conduct a full audit of the Constitution within the state's legislative bodies. Okay, then pass, basically simultaneously at the same time they're passing this legislation to audit the Constitution within these bodies and creating these committees, then they simultaneously initiate the a request to the other states that the other states must then start, you know, coming on board and helping educate and creating a coalition with them. So while they're auditing the Constitution and providing updates and data to the other states, they're also trying to basically educate them and get them on board. So what they will end up doing is passing a resolution and sending that resolution, because that's exactly what Madison and Jefferson did. They passed a resolution and they forwarded that resolution out to all of these other states. And so I have a little note here. Keep in mind, in order to send a clear message of constitutional enforcement, the following step is highly recommended. However, a state cannot be forced into withdrawing its application, but republic review is not an Article 5 mechanism to amend the Constitution. So that following step is this. If this state that starts or initiated or is in joining the process of republic review, they need to pass a resolution and initiating the audit process and if they have an active petition to Congress for an Article 5 convention, then the legislators should pass a resolution or bill rescinding this petition from Congress, because I think it's very important that the states assert the authority and compliance to the Constitution before they even worry about modifying the contract. Let's get the contract, let's get everybody in compliance to the contract first, and then we'll figure out what we need to fix. And as a matter of fact, if you know the history of the Bill of Rights, and if you know the history of the Constitution, out the gate, all of the states were calling for a Bill of Rights, and the status quo Federalist wanted to do the exact opposite. They said, well, let's get this thing going first, you know, let's kick the tires on it, and then we'll fix it. And but everybody already knew the need for a Bill of Rights. I mean, the Bill of Rights was in their DNA, because England, from the Glorious Revolution, had their first Bill of Rights, which goes back to the 1680s, when they established the first Bill of Rights for the Englishmen. And that was the real driver behind the Revolutionary War, because here these colonists were being denied their Englishman rights of representation and, you know, rights of privacy and those types of things that was clearly in the English Bill of Rights from the Glorious Revolution. So anyway, so step number five is going to come to you as soon as we get back after this hard break. So I apologize, but we'll get into commencing the audit when I come back. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcasts. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests as to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so at this point, we are ready to commence the audit. And so what's really important is understanding the groundwork or what has to be done in the audit. This isn't just necessarily counting. This isn't necessarily going through budgets and so forth. This is a very broad-scoped audit, and what has to happen is they have to confirm that the only authorized process within the Constitution, which is the Article 5 process for the general government to assume any new role, responsibility, or power, is actually and had been followed in creating these roles, responsibilities, and power. So what they have to do in doing that is ensure that there was one followed and that the states actually ratified these powers. If you have the Department of Interior, which there's no evidence that the states have ratified an amendment to the Constitution in creating the Department of Interior in 1849, then the other question is there something in the Constitution where they modified the Constitution to allow the President, Congress, or the Supreme Court granting them that authority from the states? In other words, is there an amendment for that? If there is not, then they have to basically rely strictly upon the Article 5 process, which means that if the Article 5 process is still the only valid process, then they have to create a list of all constitutional authorized roles, responsibilities, and powers within the Constitution. You can start right off with the Department of Defense. You can start right off with the Department of State and the Department of Treasury, because those were the three roles, responsibilities, and powers that were created as the framers wrote the Constitution and said, this is what we need to do. And so no problem with that. Then you begin a list of all unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers by going through all the rest of the departments, starting with the Department of Interior, Department of Agriculture, the Department of Labor and Commerce, and so forth and so on. And so as you go through all these departments and all these offices, then you are creating a list, because bottom line, if there is no amendment in delegating these powers, roles, or responsibilities in creating, forming, or establishing these since 1791, then these have to be evaluated as to whether we're going to keep them or not. So you obtain confirmation from Congress to as to whether the RRPs in question that are being perceived as unconstitutional has any compliance, or whether it violated the Article 5 process. In other words, you got to give Congress an opportunity to say, well, you know what, we really didn't follow the Article 5 process with that. And they're going to say that a lot, and they're going to get really, it's almost like watching one of those investigations where the person on the other side of the table is going to go, I plead the fifth, because that's about all they're going to say. And so the other question is, did Congress forward those amendments, or did Congress usurp these? Did the states properly ratify the RRPs? But here's the important one. As a part of this audit, the states actually have to go through and make sure that all the amendments that were ratified, they need to audit themselves to determine whether the role, responsibility, and power in the amendment actually, the states followed their process in each state. And the reason this is important, and this is a sub-bullet, this is an important issue because there is evidence that the 16th and 17th Amendments were not properly ratified. Consequently, this must also be flushed out as a part of the audit, because if the 17th Amendment was not properly ratified by the states, then it falls into question. It's the same thing with the 16th Amendment. So what are the 16th Amendment and 17th? The 16th Amendment is the amendment that gives the federal government the ability to tax you and apply direct personal income tax, or tax against your personal income. And the 17th Amendment is the changing of the process of selection of senators. In the Constitution, it states in Article 1, Section 2, the senators would be selected by the state legislatures. But the 17th Amendment changed that, strictly changing only Article 1, Section 2. They did not change or modify Article 5 in the Amendment Protection Clause, that states could not be denied their equal suffrage in the Senate, which basically means that states would no longer have the ability to have their votes represented as a constituent. And so, and I was talking to a gentleman last night about that, and it just kind of, I don't want to say his head exploded, but you know, all of a sudden he had a completely different view of what we needed to do. And I've talked about that before, that states that have rejected, and I've talked to Utah, please, Utah, stop electing your senators and go back to appointing. You guys rejected the 17th Amendment, and the 17th Amendment did not change the ability for you to be forced into losing your suffrage. If you do not accept the 17th Amendment, then you can go back to appointing it, because it says that your suffrage cannot be denied you. Anyway, moving on. So all violations that have been identified in this big audit then move forward for republic review. And so what ends up happening is these violations then go into a huge stack of, you know, things to be analyzed. And as new states join in the republic review, they're going to be coming in and there's this going to be this huge stack waiting for everybody. And they need to basically check off on all of these things that have occurred before to make, to confirm that everything is legit, that all of these things are unconstitutional. Let's say a new state comes along like California and says, hey, we have some documents that prove this otherwise. And they'll be fake documents, of course, but you know, what else do you expect from California, right? I should say the progressives in California, because there's lots of really good patriots down in California. There's probably more patriots in California than almost all the surrounding states around them. That's just because there's just so many people living there. But anyway, so as these states come in, they're going to have to basically kind of validate and get up to this point of saying, okay, we accept, you know, this huge pile of violations. And so each state must begin establishing secure comms when they come in, so that they can start communicating. And they'll need to establish their networking and architecture for online collaborative environment that is designed with a full availability and redundancy. That way, if somebody wants to target, you know, this republic review effort, each state will be able to function as an island as well as a whole unit online. So the republic ensuring a full redundancy and synchronization and merging of information, maintaining full configuration management of all data within each state. This way, the integrity and the survivability of republic review will be able to move forward, because there's a good chance that somebody may not want this to happen. You know, there's lots of people with trillions of dollars on the line that will not want this to move forward. Do you understand that? And so they may actually try to target, you know, if you have all your eggs in one basket, it makes it real easy for somebody to disturb you. But if you actually have a good distributive and secure environment where everything is fully redundant, and that's why I put all of this in here, as states start to join, they need to start creating this collaborative environment that is basically rock solid. There's just no way it can be, you know, shut down. And so each state should be able to function as an island and be able to connect and so forth and work together. So once you have a majority of states, and this is where we say 26 states is the tip, you know, is the necessary majority, because now you have more than 50%. And not that I'm going in the path of democracy. I'm just saying once you have a majority of the states, that means that the formal review can begin. Because if you understand the thresholds of what is constitutional, what is not constitutional, what does it take? It takes 38 states to ratify an amendment to make something constitutional. Right? And so what does it take to deny an amendment or a change to the Constitution? It only takes 13. And so with 26 states, I definitely have 13 states present. And I believe the majority of the states that are going to be first at the at this table or at this altar, those states are probably going to be the preponderance of those states that are fighting federal tyranny. They'll probably be mostly Western states, or the flyover states. So once you get these 26 states together, then you now have a majority, and you now have, I see, the makings of pulling everybody else to the table, because they're not going to want to come, but they're going to be forced to come. They may be kicking and screaming and dragging their heels, but California and the rest of these other states, because they have skin in the game, they're going to want to have a place at that table to protect, hopefully, some of the things that they want to value. And I'm going to tell you, it may be a losing proposition, but we'll see. But we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. So please stay tuned. Thank you much.
This is GR Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals. But do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile, I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so, as I just left off, what we're trying to do is basically set up this pile so that when we get these 26 states on board, then this pile gets divvied up, or I should say these states first get divvied up into creating two committees. So each state will basically have members of their legislatures on sitting on two different committees. One committee will be the dissolving or the dissolvent and decommission committee. And obviously that's the committee that will basically follow through the process of telling Congress that these are the things we're getting rid of. And the other committee will be the amendment recommendation committee. What'll happen in Republic Review is as the entire body of the Republic will go through every single one of these RRPs,
They will basically parse them into these two aforementioned committees. And each RRP will be reviewed in this process before the final parsement is done as to its constitutionality. In addition, each role, responsibility, and power will be assessed by the Republic as to its value to the Republic. In other words, do we really need this? Do we need a center for disease control? And, you know, doing vaccinations for kids, that type of stuff. Do we need that? What is the cost of that? What is the scope of that? And what is the function, both in a historic context as well as a current context of the Republic? That way, you're making the best business decision and best political decision that would be best for the Republic and not necessarily for the federal government and its allies or, the global corporations that it happens to be, serving at that point in time and so forth. Every role, responsibility, and power with a minimum of 13 states. Remember, we've got 26 states at the table at this point, and there's going to be lots of other states coming in. If you have 13 states already demanding the dissolvement and the decommissioning of an unconstitutional RRP, then that RRP will be returned to the states and the Republic in the process of sending that RRP to the Dissolvement and Decommission Committee. With every RRP with a minimum of 38 states, so you'll have to wait until all the other states come on board. But if you don't have 13 yet, then we need to get more states and more states to come on board and, protect that particular role, responsibility, and power. But if you get 38 states that desire an unconstitutional RRP be retained by the federal government, then that RRP, that role, responsibility, and power, will then be forwarded to the Amendment Recommendation Committee, and they will create a resolution that goes to Congress and says, this is, we find this as a worthy, power to delegate to you, and please provide us with a concise and or a detailed amendment as to how you plan to execute this. Or maybe there's something we like them doing, but we don't like all the things that they're doing with it. We can basically say, well, we kind of want you to do this, but we're not going to let you do this or this. So give us the language that frames this role, responsibility, or power in a context that will limit it to these very specific functions. Because, like this Department of Interior, we don't like what the BLM is doing. We don't like what these thugs over here are doing and so forth. I mean, we should never be killing American citizens, right, folks? Anyway, I want to note here, and this is really highlighted, it is highly recommended that no amendment be recommended. That's what I'm saying. The people in this committee may not have anything to do, and if it was up to me, they shouldn't have anything to do. And as a matter of fact, all the staffing would be over sitting in that other committee, and that there would just be kind of one person kind of watching out for, wow, there's something actually coming down the pike. Let's get a couple people over here to help out. Because bottom line, the Republic would be better served with a limited and outward-facing general government rather than allowing the general government to become involved in domestic matters, period. That's precisely why the Constitution and the federal government was formed as an outward-facing government, that they had no roles on anything domestic other than administrative types of things for military training, ports, and so forth. They had no involvement in domestic matters whatsoever. So, moving on, the Dissolvement and Decommission Committee. Let's get into the weeds a little bit on this. This committee uses the aforementioned assessment. Remember I said that they were going to talk about the value, the cost, all these things, resources, and so forth. And so this committee will then use these assessments to determine if each RRP possesses personnel, resources, content, schedules, budget, and anything of value. If there is something of value, let's say the Department of Energy. I use this as an example all the time. The Department of Energy has a lot of content, it has resources and people and so forth that might actually be able to be useful for the Republic as they take these roles and responsibilities on. And so It would be my recommendation that that would be forwarded into a decommission committee. So this dissolvement and decommission committee is actually split into two sides. There's a decommission and there is a dissolvement or disbanding. And so the decommission has a much greater scope of work it has to do, because what it has to do is basically calculate what it is going to take to transition this role, responsibility, or power over to the states, whether it's the states individually or collectively. So they have to figure that out, and then they have to figure out, you know, what is it going to take to get all of this information and all this content and so forth back into the hands of the states. RRPs with sufficient unique, and I'm kind of going over this again, because I want to go through these bullets specifically. RRPs with enough significant unique deemed value will be decommissioned with a fixed resource schedule, a resource loaded schedule and budget. And the budget isn't being sent to Congress, but this resolution will be sent to Congress requiring Congress promulgate specific resolutions in decommissioning that specific role, responsibility, and power. RRPs that are identified as useless, great example, the Department of Education, it can be dissolved within a specific established timeline. I'm going to stop right here because I think it's really important that we keep in mind that even though these are tyrannical government bodies, the people that are sitting in these employees, they're people. Nobody, and I've said this before, nobody wants to be told, yeah, you just lost your job, buddy or gal, and be walked out. I mean, it's very humbling and humiliating. So I highly recommend that anything that is to be dissolved should be dissolved within a structured time to give the bulk of the people more than adequate time to either leave on their own or to, you know, be at least prepared that you are going to be let go and that it'd be best for you to start planning that and give them, you know, 2 months warning, 4 months, 6 months, whatever that be. And depending on who they are, because, you know, some of these people may be critical people that have to keep certain things functioning or, you know, slowly moving out the less essential till you finally, you know, okay, well, we're down to the core people. Let's go ahead and turn the lights off and shut the building down. That way, the general accounting office then can again go through the property and all the resources, the tangible physical resources that are there, and, you know, worry about auctioning, selling those things off. Because bottom line, we don't need this many buildings in government. We don't need this many people in government. We do not need all this unconstitutional government. We can do this at the state level. We've already got a duplication of education. We've already got a duplication of a lot of these things. So some of these people could find jobs because now the states are going to be doing a little bit more or maybe a little bit less. But I think for the most part, we'll find that there'll be great opportunities for some of these federal employees to move over into state employee positions. And so I'm going to kind of leave it at that because we're really, really close to being out of time. I've got maybe a minute left. This is the end of the week. I've given you a lot of data and I've given you a lot of facts. And so what I'm asking you to do is to consider these, ponder these, as I've always had. And right before the Easter weekend, I ask that you consider giving a prayer, looking at this and saying, you know, is this what we really need to do? It is kind of like having to go in and doing the dirty job. But I don't actually think this is a dirty job. I think this is a very noble and necessary job. This is not nefarious. What we have been subject to has been nefarious, and we have been basically taken advantage of. And it's time to stop that. It's time to stop the abuse, and it's time to step in for the good of the Constitution, for the good of our liberties. What is it going to take to save your liberties? And this is exactly what it's going to take, folks. Unless you can point to some other, you can tell me it's going to be an election, it's going to be the Supreme Court, and I will tell you the empirical data proves that you're absolutely wrong. The empirical data proves that the only way we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic is by us actually stepping up and doing the necessary things and holding to the contract and getting back within that framework. And as we get back into that framework, that is how we reclaim the Republic. And with you, your help, and the rest of those good patriots out in this Republic, we will reclaim the Republic. That's why this show is called Reclaiming the Republic. I am G.R. Mobley, and that's it for the show for today. But I will get back into these bullets and finish these off hopefully on Monday. So please spread the word and get this news out there, and we will reclaim the Republic.